one of my last memories of this church is when me and my dad were here.
Amen.
And I was trying to think of how long that was. It's got to be over 12 years,
yes,
because
sir.
I've been married for 12 years and
Amen.
A pre-marriage. And so I'm thinking 13, 14 years since I was here. And
Amen.
One of the last memories I have is as me and my dad were driving off, the church gathered around our car and sung to us as we left. And I was like, what an amazing church. And I know, y'all know my father, Don Johnson, and he's always told me that this is one of his favorite churches.
Amen.
So I'm sure he sends his greetings to you guys.
Yeah, amen.
So thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be with Brother John Green. You know, I was thinking as well, even though he's a Texan, he's really closer to me than to you guys. So I think we claim it.
Nice try. Lots of Texans to take it. Amen. Yeah, right, John? Amen.
Well, I'm glad you let Arkansans preach by me. Well, turn with me to Matthew 28. Starting at verse 16. I preach expository. I've been preaching through Isaiah for almost 2.5 years. And in 2.5 years, I've preached two topical messages and out of 2.5 years, and well, one of them is going to be today.
Amen.
So I'm going to preach on evangelism.
Amen.
And evangelism is a good topic to preach topically to get the full counsel of Scripture. What does the Scripture say about evangelism?
Amen.
So I want to speak to us a little bit this morning on evangelism, and my goal is not to make you feel guilty, because like many things, like prayer, reading the Scriptures, none of us can say, well, okay, I've got that mastered.
Right.
And so when we talk about evangelism, we're all going to feel a little guilt, mm-hmm. or a little bit of like, okay, I'm not very good at this, or this is something I'm inadequate with, and I feel already, my job is, and my goal this morning is not to come, and especially to you guys who are not even the church that I pastor, my desire is not to come and harp on you, act like you guys are not evangelizing enough. I'm assuming that you do evangelize, but my goal here is to help encourage you and myself to become more emboldened.
Amen.
To evangelize.
Amen.
And so I want to equip us and to encourage us. And so as we think about that, I want you to begin to think in your own conscience, how much do I evangelize? And is evangelism a part of my life? Is this something that I think as a regular discipline of the Christian life? And when we know prayer is a regular discipline, we know reading the Bible is something we should do regularly, but it's almost like evangelism is one of those categories. I know for at least me, I kind of think, well, that's kind of an occasional thing. It's kind of like fasting. You know, fasting is one of those things you do when the Lord impresses upon you, or you may have different views of fasting, but that's one of those things. Yeah, it's a part of the Christian life, but it's not a regular practice. I want us to look at evangelism and think of it like we think of prayer and like the other regular disciplines of the Christian life, and say, I want evangelism to be a part of my nature. And so I want you to think about that. And so today's message is the lost practice of evangelism. Francis Assisi, he was a Catholic mystic, and he said, preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. And what he's saying is just live the gospel where others can see it. And I believe live the gospel, but I want to tell you, preach the gospel, and I want to say, and use words. How do you preach the gospel without words?
Right.
It is necessary for us when we think about evangelism that I must speak the gospel.
Amen.
One man heard this story. One man was converted, and he comes back to his job, and his co-worker goes, oh, for 15 years I've been praying for you. I'm so glad you're a Christian. He goes, what? You mean you're a Christian? He goes, yeah, I've been a Christian. I've been trying to live an example so you can see. And he goes, yeah, you're the reason that I thought I could be a good person without Christ. What an indictment.
Yes, sir.
So if you're just seeking to live the good life before others, that's great. You need to have a good life to collaborate your gospel witness. But without the witness, without the vocalization of the gospel, there's no salvation. There's none. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. And how shall they hear unless there's preachers? And in this case, we're all preachers in this sense. We're all evangelists. We're called to share the gospel to our neighbors.
Yeah.
So this morning I'm going to do three things. I'm going to start off by saying and giving us reasons why evangelism is something we need to do or we must do. Secondly, I'm going to go and try to undermine any excuses that we may have. And right now you may be thinking, well, you know, well, Jeff, you don't know my special situation. I just, this is not my gift. It's not something I'm good at. This is somebody, I'll leave this to Pastor Joe. I'll let him do this. I'm going to try to remove all obstacles and excuses that you may have. And then third, which is the key to this message, I want to show you some practical ways to encourage you how this can be done. And in my prayer, and I preached this to our church 2 weeks ago, and I was burdened to pray before I preached this. So Lord, I pray indirectly that this sermon would lead to some people in our church to be emboldened to witness that may have not done otherwise. And this sermon would call someone to witness, and you'd use their witness to save someone. So I'm going to pray that now. And I don't believe in name it and claim it, but I do believe that God answers prayers. And I pray that this sermon will be impactful for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And that we, as God's people, including myself, we would take this and realize, I want to be a witness. I want to evangelize, and I'm scared. I admit it. I'm scared to do this at times. This is not easy. I know it's not easy. But I want to. And may the Lord use us as God's people to spread the word of God to our neighbors around us. And may God use our witness to bring someone into the kingdom. Wouldn't that be glorious? Let's pray for that. Oh God, we do pray that you would use us as lights into this world. Lord, regardless if you save anyone who are a witness, help us to be faithful.
Amen.
Regardless if we're used or not, just to be faithful to you. But we do admit we would prefer and we would long and desire to see our witness to be a means through your hand and through the Holy Spirit to bring some lost soul to yourself. Use this sermon, I pray, to make an eternal difference in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, why should we evangelize? Why should we? One, because it's commanded. Well, that's enough, right? It's commanded. Matthew 28, starting with verse 19, we see, there, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whichsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. So when you go out into the world, Holy Spirit says, God's going to send His Spirit and He's going to be, I'm going to be with you.
Amen.
Even unto the end of the world. Amen. So this is the commission of the church, which we principally think about world missions or international missions, but it also includes individual Christians evangelizing their neighbors. And so we see that this is part of a commission or calling. Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus says, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He's sending us. And when he prayed in Matthew 17, he says, I pray that you do not take them out of the world, that's his people, but you would keep them in this world. Preserve them in this world. And he goes, I don't only pray for them, but also through those who would believe through their word. So we can see one of the reasons God is leaving you on planet Earth. Why did God not take us immediately to heaven once we're born again? We've kind of wondered that every now and then. Why am I not already in heaven? It's because it's through our words, our gospel witness, that he has chosen to use as means to bring other sheep into the fold.
Amen.
So you have a commission. God's people, all of our God's people, have this commission laid upon them. Don Whitney says, all Christians are not expected to use the same methods, but all Christians are expected to evangelize. He also goes to say, intentional evangelism will necessarily be customized by your spiritual gifts, talents, personality, schedule, family situation, location. But having taken all of this into consideration, every believer must realize that it is sinful not to seek ways to spread the message about our Lord Jesus. So we are called to be the light of the world. I mean, this is one of the principal callings of the Christian, that you are the light of the world. But if we do not light up the world, if we take our witness and hide it under a bushel, we are not carrying out our responsibilities and commission before God. So the first reason we should evangelize is because it's commanded.
Amen.
Secondly, we should evangelize because it is in our nature to do so. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. I mean, this is who we are. We are a light.
Amen.
And in some sense, all Christians want to witness. And in some sense, all Christians will witness because it's within us. And I speak this knowing that this is your heart's desire. Even though if you're like me, I'm fearful at times. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes for me to do this. Jesus says, you know, come follow me, and I will make you fishermen of men.
Right.
So evangelism is a natural overflow of the Christian life. It's one of the indications that we have life, is that we are sharing this life to others. To speak of Jesus is only natural. I mean, basketball players like to talk about basketball. Baseball players like to talk about baseball. Well, what do Christians enjoy talking about? What is natural to be on their lips and their hearts? Right. The things of God.
Amen.
So if these things are not overflowing out of your mouth, not just to those saints around you, but also to those friends and families that you have, it's questionable even if there's life within you, if it's not
Good.
Bubbling out
Amen.
From your mouth.
Amen. Come on, brother. Yes.
Charles Spurgeon says, if you have no wish for others to be saved, then you're not saved yourself.
Good.
So third, we should evangelize because we love God.
Amen. That's it.
You know, evangelism is not principally about redeeming or saving man from hell. Now, we are worried about that because we love our neighbors. But we love God more.
Amen.
We love the glory of God. And one of the commission that God gave Adam and Eve is that they would be fruitful and multiply for the reason of spreading the fame, the glory, and the name of God throughout all the earth.
Amen.
And that's what God wants, right? He wants there to be glory throughout the earth. And I was in Columbia in November. And it's amazing how their worship service reminds me of this worship service and my worship service. They're serving and worshiping the same Lord Jesus that we are worshiping. Isn't that wonderful that there are God's people throughout the world giving God glory and honor and praise? That's a glorious thing. It may be a remnant, but man, scattered throughout the globe is God's people praising Him. What a glorious thing.
Amen.
Oh, but would it be great if it was more?
Right. Said by the name.
And people are lost and they're not praising God. So we think God deserves the glory. And if we're to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, we should love His glory and seek to spread His glory to others, that others may glorify God. I have three children. All of them are unconverted. And as they get older and older, it's like, I want my children, my sons, to glorify God. So that should be a motivation and reason for us to evangelize. And then, the fourth reason we should evangelize is because we love our neighbors.
That's good.
You know, what is the second great commandment? First one is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Second one is to love your neighbors as yourself. Now, ask yourself, do you really love your neighbor if you're not concerned about their eternal salvation? I mean, you may give them water to drink, food to eat, you may be kind to them, but isn't a form of hatred to have the words of eternal life and not share them? No, I mean, to love our neighbor is to give them what's best. And what's best is Christ. So to love our neighbor is to evangelize. Some people say, no, you don't push your religion on others. I mean, no, it is the loving thing to do. Amen. To share Christ with others. So, for these four reasons, and there could be others, but these four reasons is commanded as part of our nature, is to love God, to love our neighbors. For these four reasons, it's enough for us to know that evangelizing is a part of my responsibility, and it's sinful for me not to want to do this. Now, that's why we must. Now, let's look at some of the excuses that we may have. And I have these excuses. I'm going to be honest about these. I mean, these are things that make it difficult for me to evangelize, and I've used these. Maybe I haven't been as bold as to say them out loud, but they're in my conscience, if you would. They're back there, and one of them, and the main reason, is just the fear of man. Who here is not afraid of man? Mm-hmm. But we must remember that the fear of man is sin. And the way past the fear of man is to fear God more. Amen. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 26, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words," not just him. I mean, a lot of people say, "I love Jesus, but that's as far as I go." But if you're ashamed of his word, of his gospel, of his message, of him, will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in glory? Whoever, basically he's saying, whoever disowns me or is ashamed of me, I will disown or be ashamed before my Father in heaven. We are to fear God more than we fear man. And if we fear God, what can man do to us? Jesus said in Luke 12:4, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him."
Yeah.
I teach an anger management class every Monday night. Tomorrow night I'll be teaching it. And it's an 8-week course. And it's a court order course that the judge makes these people come. And so it's a court order. It's a state class. And everything that I teach points at the end to the gospel. But I realize, and there's been times, that last class where I share the gospel, I've been fearful. Because all it would take is one complaint.
That's right.
And I'd lose that income. And don't think that I haven't been tempted to hold back.
Amen.
You see, you may think, well, I may lose my job here. You know, I may lose a friend. But did not the Lord says, I come to separate father from mother, brother from sister?
Yes, he did.
What happens? Well, what if you do lose your job, your income? You see, we're not to fear these circumstances that make us timid and scared. We're to fear God. Psalms 56:4, "In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I'm not afraid. What can more mortals do to me?" What can they do? Fire you? That's all they can do. So we're not to fear man, but to fear the Lord. And if we do fear man above God, it's because we have our priorities out of place. Charles Spurgeon says, "To be laughed at is no great hardship to me. I can delight in scoffs and jeers, lampoons and slanders, And my glory, of these things I boast, yea, in these I will rejoice, but that you should turn from your own mercy. This is my sorrow. Spit on me, but oh, repent. Laugh at me, but oh, believe in my master. Make my body as the dirt of the streets, if you will, but damn not your own souls. I mean, this is Spurgeon's heart. You can laugh at me. I don't care about that. What I care about is you not going to hell. See the right priorities? What's really important here? I mean, you've got something that's temporal that you may lose. It's gone one. It comes up one day and gone tomorrow like a flower. You're afraid to lose your little flower. Or you're worried about an eternal soul. You're worried about losing a little reputation or a friendship compared to someone's eternal soul. Spurgeon says, I'm not worried about my name. I'm not worried about people liking me compared to me worried about you going to hell. Amen. So it's a sign that our priorities are out of place. And we also need to remember when it comes to evangelize, the Bible does tell us, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Right.
Luke 6:22, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on the account of the Son of Man. What is that, glorious? It's a glorious thing when you are somewhat persecuted or made fun of. Wouldn't it be a glorious thing for you to lose your job because you stood up for Christ? I go, I don't want that, but what a glorious thing. Well, that's one excuse. I'm just scared. I just don't know. I'm scared. Well, don't be scared. Just be afraid of God.
Yeah.
Second excuse that we may have is, and this is common, I don't know what to say. You know, I'm not a theologian. You know, I'm afraid they're going to ask me a question and I don't know how to answer it. I'm just a new Christian here. You know, I didn't go to school. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm not trained to interact with people and their hard questions. And is that not something we've all thought about? Like, and when people do ask me, it's like, I just don't know how to answer them. Yes. But let me remind ourselves that the gospel is not rocket science. And what if they ask me some complicated theological question or philosophical question? Well, this is all you have to do. I don't know. But I do know this. Jesus is Lord and He's died for my sins.
Amen.
You don't have to act like you're smart. This one thing I know, I was once blind. But now I see. I mean, we all can say that. So we don't need to fear that we might not have the words to say. And plus we need to know that the gospel, the power of the gospel is not in our eloquence, in the craft of how we say the gospel, or the clearness of the gospel per se. The power of the gospel is the gospel itself. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, not my words or my evangelistic abilities. It's the gospel that's the power of God into salvation. You have something that is powerful on your side.
Right.
It's the truth.
Amen.
I mean, I don't mind being on the side that says 2 plus 2 is 4. They may make fun of me. They may not believe me. Hey, but I have the truth on my side. Well, the gospel is powerful because it's true. And plus, know this, every time you stand up for the Lord and you evangelize, you have the Holy Spirit behind you. I come to the pulpit with confidence, not in my own abilities. But when you preach the word, the Spirit is promised to testify of His Son. And so when you're evangelizing, know that you have the Holy Spirit's power that can use that word to convict people of their sins. So it's not that you have to be a great evangelist or smart or a theologian. Share the words of God and the Spirit can do the rest. Well, you may say, well, evangelism is not my gift. It doesn't come easy to me. Some people are just naturally outgoing. They're charismatic. And it's like, come to you. And they're like, wow, I envy that. I'm not that person. I may appear that way behind the pulpit, but you get me in the community, I shrink back from strangers or from even from my family members. I'm not that type of person that comes naturally easy to. But even though it may not be our own spiritual gift, doesn't mean we still don't have a responsibility. We're still called to evangelize. Our strength might not be in prayer. Some people are prayer warriors, and that's their gift. And we thank God for those who have special gifts in praying. But does that mean we all shouldn't pray? Just because it's not necessarily what our strength is?
Right. Amen.
Our gift may not be in hospitality, but should we not all seek to be hospitable?
There we go.
We may not all be as outgoing or courageous as others. We're still called to be the light of the world.
That's right.
Also, we need to realize, even though evangelism may not be our particular gift or our strength, it does come easier the more we exercise it. It's a discipline. The more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Amen.
I've been going to the gym for the last 2 or 3 months, and when I first started going, actually I've been going for a long time, but it was like a hit and miss type thing. But I've been buckling down and going to the gym and really hitting it hard. I had a friend that's keeping me accountable, and he doesn't let me relax. He's like, okay, now this, now that. It's like, you want to slap him at times. But he's really keeping me disciplined. And it's amazing. At first, it was like I was barely able to do much weight, and I was tired, ready. But after the months pass, I get excited about going, and it's getting easier and easier, and I'm getting stronger and stronger. Imagine that. Well, that's the way all Christian disciplines are. It's like, well, I'm struggling with prayer. I promise you, if you put a 5-minute more extension on your alarm clock, because I'm going to pray 5 more minutes today, and just do that day after day after day after day after day after day, I promise you it'll get easier and you'll be praying more and more. And so we can't just think of the spiritual discipline, I'll just do it as the Lord leads and as I just feel like doing it. And we want to have that desire to do it, and it comes from the heart, but sometimes we have to do it even when we don't feel like doing it, and stretch ourselves and push ourselves. And if we push ourselves and stretch ourselves, it will become more and more godly. Does not Paul tell Timothy to discipline yourselves unto godliness? And realize if you're stuck, stagnant on a plateau in your Christian walk, maybe you just need to stretch yourself, push yourself a little bit. And if you do, you will get stronger. Paul told Timothy, let your growth in Christ, let your godliness, let your knowledge, let these things be evident to all. That every time they see that, they see that you're growing and you're maturing and you're getting stronger in the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? Well, that can be you too. And evangelism might be something very difficult and you don't do very often, but I promise you, if you said, I am going to seek opportunities, and I am going to go ahead and exercise this and do this, even though it's hard, you'll become where it comes more and more second nature to you. Well, maybe another excuse is, well, I'm too busy. I don't have enough time. You know, family, work, even church life, with all these things that you don't have time. Well, maybe I'm a housewife, and I just my job is mainly to stay in the home. I'm watching my kids. Yeah, I'm trying to evangelize my kids, but outside of that, I don't have a lot of opportunities to evangelize. But do we really want to use this as an excuse? I don't have time to fill the Great Commission. You know, do we want to say, okay, well, that's a good one. Lord, sorry, you told me to do something, but I just don't have time. It's not true that you don't have opportunity. Now, I'm not suggesting that we negate our responsibilities. Go to a job. Stay at home. Keep your kids at home. Evangelize them. But there's ways you can invite your neighbor over and have a dinner. You know, you have lost neighbors. Invite them over for dinner. I'm not saying you have to do that, but there's ways. If you want to evangelize, there's ways even you and your schedule can make opportunity if you want to do it.
Right.
So that's really not an excuse. Well, Maybe you think, well, only witness when I feel prompted by the Holy Spirit. And you know, and there's times when you have the opportunity, the door opens, and you know this is when I need to say something. And if you're like me, you have lost family members that you're praying for, you want their salvation, and you're praying for those opportunities to say something into their life. And that's, we should pray for that. But if that's all we're doing is waiting for those great opportunities, and we're not really disciplining ourselves to this, we're not really trying to stretch ourselves and becoming more bold and sharing the gospel. And the way I want you to think about that, do you only pray when you feel prompted? Do you only read the Bible when you feel prompted? Well, I hope you feel prompted all the time.
Amen.
But even if you're not, to say, well, it's time to pray. It's time to read my Bible. We need to seek to make evangelism a part of our lives. Look for opportunities. Pray for opportunities. And it's amazing, once you're looking for them on a daily basis, you want to share the gospel. It's amazing how often you can. Now, we really have no excuses. Okay, so we have the command. There's no excuses for us not to do this. Now, let's end this with some positive things and encouragement. First, okay, I want, Jeff, I hear what you're saying, and I'm praying that God will help me in this. Let's look at how we can do this. Let's end this message by kind of an encouragement of how we can strengthen ourselves in this desire that we all have. Well, let's begin by saying one of the things we can do, and one of the most important things we can do, we can start by seeking to increase our evangelism opportunities and boldness by praying. Paul says in Ephesians 6:19, he says, "And for me," he says, "pray, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make the mystery of the gospel known, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So Paul's praying that the Ephesians would pray for him that he would evangelize. Pray that I become bold and I'm able to speak the gospel clearly as I ought to speak. So even Paul realized, I need help here. I need others to pray that I can do this. So we can pray that the Holy Spirit will embolden us and be with us. And we need to notice that there's a huge difference between Peter before Pentecost, when he denied the Lord, and then there was after Pentecost, when he was bold. What a different man. Well, we all have the fear of man. And we all have been in those situations when we know we could share the gospel, but we clam up. We've all done that, right? Well, at least I have, multiple times. But what we need is the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives that emboldens us. So we can begin praying for that. Lord, I pray that you embolden me. Remember what Jesus said about his disciples when they'd be persecuted in Luke 12:11, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say.
Amen.
You know, you don't have to be a wise theologian, evangelize. The Holy Spirit can assist you and will assist you.
Yes, he will.
During those times. We can pray for opportunities. Go to work and say, Lord, give me a burden for the lost and for your glory, and I pray that you'd open up opportunities. Now, I want to be clear. I think we are to be very discerning and appropriate when we share the gospel. I don't think we go into a store and disrupt business. I think there's a right way to share the faith that doesn't bring shame or embarrassment upon the gospel. Okay, so I'm not here prompting you to go and just go into Walmart, you know, and just start shouting. I don't think that's appropriate. However, you can pray, Lord, give me those opportunities that are appropriate. And let me not be ashamed when those times come. And I think that's a prayer that God will be great, happy to answer. Pray that the Lord gives you a burden for sinners. Spurgeon says, the Holy Spirit will move them by first moving you. If you can rest without their being saved, they will rest too. But if you are filled with an agony for them, if you cannot bear that they should be lost, you will soon find that they are uneasy too. I hope you will get into such a state that you will dream about your child or your hearer perishing for lack of Christ and start up at once and begin to cry, God, give me converts or I die. Then you will have converts. You know, there is the use of prayer for, that God answers prayers. He ordains prayers so he can answer prayers. Well, God saves people through evangelism. And so one of the things we can pray about is, Lord, give me a heart for these lost souls. And if you're a burden for lost souls, that means God potentially may be working in these lost souls because you're a burden for these lost souls. Does that make sense? I remember my brother, the middle one right above me, was lost as he could be. He was living in sin. He's into drugs. And he'd come home because he lost everything. And he moved in back to his mom and dad's house. And I'm in college, and I know he's there. He's still lost. And I got up in the middle of the night just praying for him, which is unusual. You know, typically wake up. But just burden for him. Middle of the night, get a phone call the next morning by my brother Jason. Lord, save me. When did this happen? Well, when I come home late and realize I disappointed my parents again, got home around 2 or 3, feeling guilt, and he explained the story. He's like, well, that's when I was praying for you. You see, pray that God gives you a burden for your lost family and for your neighbors. Well, another way of help is devote yourself to Christ. Jesus said, and John Green brought this out yesterday, it was so wonderful, come follow me.
Yeah.
Follow me. Put your heart on me. Then I will make you disciples and a fisherman. You know, Christians are kind of like glow-in-the-dark material or glow-in-the-dark plastic. When I was young, I had this yo-yo. It was glow-in-the-dark. And I loved that thing. I didn't really play with it as a yo-yo. I'd set that thing on a lamp. And I'd let that thing get almost melting. I mean, it would just sit there, and I'd turn it over, and I'd get that thing just on that light, that source. And it would get so illuminated that even in the daytime you can see that thing glowing. I mean, the light's on, that thing's glowing. Well, that's the way we are. We have no light, intrinsic light of ourselves.
No.
We without Christ, we are darkness.
Yes.
Jesus, apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine.
Right.
You have to be connected to Him. And the closer we are with Him, the more life that we have.
Amen.
We're like that glow-in-the-dark material. If we're next to the light, we will shine. And the closer we are to Christ, the brighter we shine. And
right.
So if you want the words of Christ and the gospel just to flow naturally out of you, just seek first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Seek Christ's heart.
Right.
And you'll be noticing it's on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to... It wants to flow out of you. So if you want encouragement, seek in witnessing. Well, seek first Christ.
Amen.
Don Whitney says, the more we are like Christ, the more we will tell of Christ in His message. 1 Peter 3:15 says, in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord, as holy, and always being prepared to make a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. So first honor Christ. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Then you'll be ready to give a defense. Third thing to help us is to walk in the Spirit. Seek to walk in the Spirit. You know, Romans 8, 5 through 8 says that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And one of the reasons that we fear man is because we're in the flesh. Being worldly minded causes us to grasp after the world, and it keeps us from, it makes us afraid to lose this world. But James, in his epistle, in chapter 4, reminds us that we can test our love for God by how eager we are to or to lose hold of the world or hang on to the world. You know, in James 4, he asked the question, where does the domestic fights come from? You ever get arguments with your spouse? I mean, if you do that, where's the source of that? Where's one of the reasons that we fight and argue and with each other? Well, James says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this? That your passions are at war within you? I mean, if you're fighting with others, it means you're fighting within. You desire and do not have, so you murder, you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. So part of the reason we fight with others is because we're fighting within, because we want this world, but we can't attain it. So in the same way, when we walk in the flesh, it's hard for us to be bold for Christ. It's hard for us to we want this world, and then that's going to cause us, if you would, to be afraid to lose it. So the key of this is to walk in the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. My last two things, quickly, to help us. You'll become a better evangelist. Discipline yourself to it.
Amen.
Plan it. John Owen says about these things, it's a grace and duty. It's not just a grace, it is a grace, but it's also a responsibility. So we should start with those who are closest to us, our children, our lost family members, our friends, our co-workers, and those who we do business with. Seek purposefully to evangelize these people. Begin to pray, maybe for your neighbors. I mean, the ones living right next to you. Lord, I want to pray for this person. Begin praying for them. Lord, give me a burden in that person. And then, Lord, I want opportunities to reach out to that person. Then put all those prayers into practice. I'm going to invite them over for dinner. And I'm going to build a friendship with them. I mean, many of us go and get a haircut to the same person. Like me, once a month. Because I'm cheap. But, you know, you go and get a haircut. Well, you have someone you're getting a haircut month to month. Well, you don't have to dump the whole load the first time you get a haircut.
That's right.
Just begin to make a relationship with that person and do it intentionally.
Amen.
Intentionally. Pray for that person. See, there's little things that we can do. We could purposely invite people over to our homes. It doesn't make sense to me. Some people think you have to go into the bars and the nightclubs to evangelize.
No.
That doesn't make sense.
No.
Not when there's golden opportunities in healthy environments.
Yes, sir.
To evangelize them. Here are some possible ways. You know, it's sometimes hard to turn the conversation over. Have you ever been in those, you know you want to evangelize, but you're talking about basketball, you're talking about this or that, and how do you get the conversation turned? One of the good ways to think about this is this. It's not very threatening. How can I pray for you? Isn't that a kind thing to ask them? How can I pray for you? In what ways can I pray for you? And that can begin to get them thinking. Share your testimony with them. So do you mind me sharing what the Lord's done for me? I mean, I really believe that's what Paul did several times in his evangelistic outreach. He's just like, this is what God's done for me. Make it a habit to thank God publicly. Go to the bank. Well, didn't the Lord give us a good day today? The key is to have a desire that's ever present. There's lost souls all around us. I am the light of the world. So in conclusion, we should seek to witness on a regular basis. I'm not trying to give you a legalistic quota. I had a friend in college that made a commitment to witness to someone every day. That's a good desire, but one day he forgot, and he's laying in bed at midnight, and he says, oh, no, I didn't do it. And so he gets up and goes to Walmart and finds the closest person and shares them gospel so he can go home and sleep. I'm not suggesting we put any boundaries or restrictions on us like that. But I am asking for you and myself to have a heart to do this and pray for opportunity. See, we're commanded. It's part of our nature. We want to. We have a love for God. We do have a love for our neighbors. We have no legitimate excuses not to. We have the words of life. God has given us the gospel. So let's begin praying and devoting ourselves to Christ. Let us seek to walk in the Spirit and discipline ourselves in this important area of evangelism. Let me pray for us and ask the Lord to give us this heart, and me, myself, in particular. Dear Lord, I know as I'm preaching this, I realize I'm preaching as one who needs preaching unto. And I pray that you would take this word of responsibility that we see here from Scriptures. It's hard for us to deny that, Lord, that we are the light of the world. It's hard to deny that we have the words of life. Oh, Lord, we pray that we do have a burden for those around us. We do know, Lord, that you have a people in this world that you've chosen to use your people to reach. We pray that you would use us. Use us as instruments. Lord, send us. Here are we. We are willing. Send us. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen.